Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey, Mimi.
Oh. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a gloss. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Hi, I'm Gigi. Welcome to Queerified. Mimi, where the fuck are you?
I'm at some bar in West Hollywood.
Oh, me too. I lost you at Stash, though, right after we were at the Abbey.
I'm looking around. There are so many people here. I saw a dancing drag queen with fiery red hair.
Okay, we'll get here now. While you figure out where you are, welcome to the show, everyone. Today we have drag's baddest bitch. You know her from any club in West Hollywood.
But before we get started, please don't forget to call into the Queerified hotline at 1-844-QUEERYS.
That's Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S. Call and ask us anything. We know you already have a question, so just dial on in.
Please don't forget to leave us 5 stars and a nice review, like this one from Miss Sugar Tea Baby.
My new favorite listening for my commute into work. I'm a nurse from Detroit, Michigan. I will be 32 at the end of April, and I transitioned at the age of 15. I had GRS back in 2019. I live stealth. My boyfriend is 25 years older than me. I have lived, honey. Also, I followed you for years, transition and all. Aw. Wait, Mimi, come to Beaches on Santa Monica.
Where is that? I'm not from here.
Okay, go right and past La Cienega. And if you see Lisa Vanderpump's Tom Tom, you've gone too far. Turn around.
Okay, I'm on my way.
Oh, here she is. Her number is starting. Rhea Littre. Welcome back, everyone. We are here in the podcast room with Miss Rhea Littre, queen of WeHo. Mm-hmm.
Drag's baddest bitch if you're nasty.
What is up, girl?
I am living the dream. First of all, for all the listeners out there, Gigi's house is so beautiful. And I have been here for years.
I haven't been here for months.
Yeah, but I haven't been here for months. And what Gigi has curated is literally a like memorabilia photo album in the form of a house. And it is so beautiful.
My aesthetic. Some may say it's eccentric. Some may say, I'm leaning into the housewife vibe. And I just love every wall having some kind of memory on it.
Absolutely, bitch. We got the Gigi Gorgeous monogrammed wall over here from her birthday. The new bar is so dope. And the pictures of me are great too. And you know, it's so cute. I'm so happy to be here.
Love you, Rhea. Happy to have you back, obviously. So today we're going to deep dive in, right, Mimi?
Let's go right in. So we know Rhea. So now we got to know her a little bit more, I think. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah. I have done lots of really crazy things in this house. So you're getting authenticity.
Love that. Yes, I can attest
first
to this.
Deep question. How was the pandemic?
It was great.
No, but seriously, that is
I loved it. We did. We curated the first ever digital drag show with the Ariadne Getty Foundation called Quarantine Queen. And not only did it like give me a purpose and a reason to do drag again and give me just like, girl, what do you do? Bitch, I do drag. I can't not do drag. But it also gave so many queens from all over the world the opportunity to be seen and heard and make a little change. So it was actually a really great experience for me. It opened my eyes. I feel like it gave me some humility, you know, because, you know, I have always been the bitch on top. Always.
You've mm-hmm. always been a hustler. I will say that
100.
Everything, and it may have a negative connotation, that word, because I guess it means like scamming someone out of money or hustling. But for me, it just means when you are knocked down and you can see another avenue to excel at and to make money and give others a platform, like you said, mm-hmm. you literally go for it and you stay oh, yeah. working. So for anybody that doesn't know Quarantine Queen, give them a little bit of what it was and why it was, you started yeah. it. Yeah, exactly. Like the bones of the show.
Well, the bones of the show started with the conversation with my sister Six on the phone. And this happened the day the pandemic shut down everything, on that Sunday night. And the Monday night I had my drag show. So I was like, I am not going to be told that I cannot perform. So I'm on the phone with Six, like, bitching, and we're kikiing about it. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on my Instagram. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'll put my Venmo and see if people tip me. And bitch, it started a fucking wow. movement.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. really did. And it just, you know, if you can go to Quarantine Queen Drag Show on Instagram and you can go down to the very first mm-hmm. performance and catch the first ever digital drag show live. I did Katy Perry's Dark Horse mm-hmm. and you can see the comments. People had never seen anything like this before, and it brought people so much joy. There were hundreds and hundreds of people watching. Sidebar, in part, that I personally texted 400 of my closest friends. And I said, bitch, we are going live at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And everyone was like, okay, girl, we're getting this. We're depressed. We're shut down. Mm-hmm. We're in our houses. And still to this day, when I go out and people see me, they're like, I have to thank you for Quarantine Queen, because yes, we really absolutely. Did not have anything to make us feel like we were connected. So, you know, that's the whole purpose I do drag, and the whole purpose of my life, really, I found out, is to bring people together. So I was glad that we got to do that in digital form during the pandemic.
And you see that so many places now, like everybody's doing digital drag. It's so common now, 2 years later, but you were the first.
Yeah, well, you know, and people known. Ask how I feel about it. And for me, the more, the merrier. Girls would hit mm-hmm. me up and be like, I'm gonna do a digital drag show on my Instagram. Is that okay? They would ask, and I would be like, yes, bitch, please. Yeah. Show people what you, you ain't gonna be my show because you don't have me. So I'm cool.
Yes. Yes. I think that is so important to say it was the first, because a lot of the time, I mean, a lot of careers, they were like, we are being shut down. We are, you know, I can't work mm-hmm. anymore. I have to close my small business. So many tragic yeah. things happened. And for you to turn that on its head is so inspiring. And the thought of it is so simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it works simply in your mind, but to execute mm-hmm. it is something well, completely
the
different.
The thought was a joke in my head. It was a complete joke. And then it ended up being something so dope. So this is a lesson to all you guys out there. All your mm-hmm. little jokes can turn out into something really, really amazing.
Always.
Not just for
they
you, but for
do.
A lot of people. And mm-hmm. I feel very blessed that I was able to give people some happiness during a time of need.
What was your favorite performance on Quarantine Queens? Because there's a lot. I know which one mine is, but I want to know which one yours is.
I have two.
Okay.
I have two.
I think I know which one they are, but go.
I have one too, actually.
I have, okay, I'll give you the second. It is Gigi Gorgeous doing My Prerogative. Yes. I am not.
Oh my
I'm
God,
not
that
even
wasn't in my two, but that's my three.
Inside my house. Oh my God, no, it was such
it was
a mess.
August.
I was nervous.
It was an August house.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, it was.
Yes, and it was incredible.
Wait, didn't I do two? I feel like I did one to
oh,
Paris
yes.
Hilton.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, yeah.
I think you might have done it three or four times.
I
honestly.
Cannot.
She couldn't get enough. But it was incredible. But my first, my top, obviously, oh, grrr, it was La Ganja Estranja coming in on the Honda through the motherfucking driveway, bitch. It was, she was on the car, like on top of it, and was like,
giving
and drove it was, you know what, it was so incredible, because digital drag, you got to really like use your imagination and do
it was
anything
a new
with
medium
it, because it's literally just like you being in this like box
and it's
curating
live,
whatever it
it's
was
it's not edited.
Yes,
they really are mm-hmm. doing that as you're watching it, and I just thought, these bitches, like, they really are taking it above and beyond uh-huh. for Rhea's show. Like, people love and mm-hmm. respect you so much, and they want to impress you.
Well, it had a lot to do with the bookings, because I did pick girls based on the fact of their love for the art of drag. Like, and I know someone mm-hmm. like La Ganja, who is everything. Shout out to La Ganja, I love you so much. You're such a dope human and entertainer. Like,
friend of the pod.
That's why I picked her, because she, I knew that she was going to do something dope, whatever it was. I didn't know she was going to come in on top of a coupe, but no, you know.
And then drop into a split. I mean, we knew okay. she was going to drop into a split, but not from a
I
car.
I think at one time she did like an S curl backflip from the window inside, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a movie. It was a movie.
What was your favorite, Mimi?
Definitely Barbie jumping into the pool.
Oh, the death drop into the pool.
Death drop into the pool.
On Instagram Live, at the end of her number, she death dropped into the pool in a full cat suit, it must have been. It was the yes. most epic end. And we
just
were all
so
dying.
So camp, so epic. Like, we were all in, like, I don't know about you guys, but I was in my house in Canada. This was the first few months of the quarantine, going through it. When we were all in that group chat saying hi to each other, remember, like, oh my God, hi, Hillary, hi, Tiffany. Like, that was my life at that time. That was our lives. Like, we had nothing to do in those first months of quarantine.
But it was like that for a lot of uh-huh. people. You know what? The pandemic also really helped me realize who mm-hmm. the people were that I could not live without. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, like, that's true.
It helped me really sift through the people that mean something to me. And I feel like mm-hmm. A lot of people went through that. And, you know, it shined a lot of light on a lot of people that I did not care about
right,
either.
Totally.
So, or people that did not care about me, you know? So, you know,
it's so relatable.
I like to learn with every experience in my life mm-hmm. because I feel like every experience is meant for you to learn from.
Absolutely.
And it's the dumb people that don't take the fucking hint. Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
And I ain't dumb. I'm fun.
So you gave a platform to a lot of queer people that their platform was taken away. What started your advocacy work? And, you know, online digital drag was a huge one of them. What else are you doing and very passionate about? And what can others do? I always get this question personally, and it boggles my mind.
I mean, for me, advocacy is just a part of who I am. I feel like I've built my whole drag career on lifting other people up. I throw a party, Make Out Mondays at Rocco's every Monday. And it's the whole premise of the show is that I'm giving new queens a chance and opportunity to be seen. And mm-hmm. not only that, but for them to experience being on stage so that they can find out what kind of performer they are. Because mm-hmm. there's so many young performers that have no way of knowing who they are until you're given the opportunity.
Right.
You know, and so I love giving that opportunity. I've been doing it pre-pandemic. I'll do it post-pandemic. I'm doing it now. I'm a queen that really believes that there's strength in numbers, and lifting each other up is mm-hmm. so
You've
important.
You've always said that.
You know, in our community, there's so many tearing down because people are envious, or people are mm-hmm. angry, or people
totally.
Are depressed in their own lives, and so they translate that towards the way they treat other people. But for me,
they project.
No, girl, I am here to serve and protect like the police. In fact, last week, Make Out Mondays, there was some fool that came up to the stage and started heckling one of my performers.
Ew.
And so Mama Bear came out, bitch.
You better work.
I'll put it on Instagram so everyone can look at
Please.
It. But I saw what was happening. I saw him heckling. And I was like, okay, that's just part of it. And this is actually a lesson that the performer needs to learn. You know, mm-hmm. you might have a couple hecklers in life.
Of course, of course.
But get over it. But as soon as that heckler put his hands on my performer.
Ew, wait, what?
No.
Yes, he put
How
his
so?
Hand, like grabbed and pushed while he
no,
was on
not
stage.
Okay. Not okay.
And like, I was like.
Sexually or?
No, it was aggressive.
Oh, wow.
It was aggressive. And this person actually came up to me previous to the performance and told me that he was going to heckle and told me that he had an issue with the
What'd
person.
You say?
I said,
Ew.
I
Don't
can
you
stop
dare?
You from doing anything you want to do.
Oh, wow.
But what I did not tell him was what I would do if he did something
exactly.
stupid.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. I was testing him. And what he was trying to do is he was trying to embarrass the performer. But what had happened was, he ended up being really embarrassed because
Absolutely.
I put one foot on the stage, took the other foot off the stage, and took all my pressure in my body and grabbed him and pushed him back to the bar. And I told him, not in my bar, not in my time.
Wait, That's and amazing. Did you say that this is on video, that you're going to put it on?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait to see it.
Good. You know what? Good for him. Hold him accountable.
I honestly, the reason why I didn't say no was because I wanted to give him the opportunity to mm-hmm. reevaluate
to make the
what he was doing.
Act better. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I did not tell him what I was going to do had he acted up. But
oh
now
God.
He knows. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer.
Latre.
Oh yeah. My God. That just gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's such a place of love and fun. And when violence is brought into it, it's like, bitch, take me out of it. I just can't. It's just so horrible. But it is in the world. Like you said, they need to build that thick skin and know what to do.
There's a time and place for everything. And this person is performing.
Not in a safe space.
And you just, you don't have.
Space.
Exactly.
For real, it had nothing to do with anything but the respect for the show and something that I have spent time curating to create a queer safe space. And that's the performer is my son, and he is part of the House of Latre. But that is not why I acted the way I did. I would have acted that way if it was some bitch I never knew from Tupac 2.
Oh,
okay,
absolutely, and that's on period. I want to ask you. So, giving younger queens, new queens, this chance in the spotlight at your show. Is that your favorite part of like running West Hollywood, or is there another part?
Absolutely. No, it is my favorite part. It is, I get so much joy out of watching drag. Before I'm a drag queen and drag's baddest bitch, I am a drag lover. I am the first one in the front row. I am tipping these hoes. I am taking video. I am full on Kris Jenner and Ariana Grande. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I am full of that. So I live, it is my favorite. I love drag. I love drag, and I will always support the art.
I love that. I want to switch lanes. I want to switch lanes a little bit. I want to talk about friendships within the drag community.
Yes.
Going through a lot of, well, not a lot, but you know, my fair amount of friendships and breakups and backstabbings and miscommunications and learning to know someone. I want to know a story of yours where you maybe had a falling out with a sister, and I have one in mind, but whatever you want to speak on, something that you learned from and advice that you could give anybody listening, because in every single community, there is that. And it happens, and it's so real, and it hurts, it burns, and it feels like something that you can never really heal from. It feels like we're never gonna come back from this, we're never gonna speak again, it's fine, I'm not gonna drop my pride, they're not gonna
just
drop their pride.
Don't think about it.
Exactly, like, we gotta move away. On. Mm-hmm. You could even be positive and be like, thankful for the time that we had, but inside, if it's a real, true friendship, you know that—
There's a pain.
You want, there's a pain, exactly.
Yeah.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
For me, it doesn't happen too often because I don't really let people in that close. But most recently, my best friend, my like life person, my sister, Six, and I did not talk for months during the pandemic. We had a falling out, a miscommunication, and we just needed time apart, which really sucked because it was during the pandemic and it's when you really needed your friends. And we were both really hurt over a situation. And honestly, I don't even know a situation. I think it kind of just snowballed.
Okay.
And we ended up just
that happens,
not
though.
Talking.
With longtime friends, that does happen.
Yeah,
it's resentment. Like, it builds up. And then one thing breaks the camel's back.
Right.
And then it's too late.
But I just want to put out there, you know, we had a gig together in Orange County at Wonderland. They do it Thursday nights. You know, I'm a promoter, so I'm going to promote that shit because they like to give me paychecks.
So,
no, but we had a really big event that we were doing together. It was the first time we had worked together in a long time. And she came into the room and I looked at her and she looked at me and we both opened our arms.
Did you
and
guys
said,
cry?
I mean,
like,
I thought you were going to fight. Oh my God.
It sounds like
no.
a moment.
Well, because this is real love here. Like, mm-hmm. this is not some catty bullshit.
Okay.
We're not going to fight. Like, literally, we love each other. And it was just such an amazing moment because we just held each other and closed the door and shot the shit for 10 minutes. Like, and that's really amazing. And I think it's so...
I just
so...
got chills. Look at my arm, Rhea.
Same.
We both have chills. Uh-huh. This happened with me and a girlfriend. So. The exact same thing.
But it's so important to shoot
the shit. It was almost like
the
time just happened.
Let me know how you feel. I'm going to let you know how I feel. And then that's that. And when you have true love and you have true connection in a friendship, you guys can just get over whatever Absolutely. It was and move forward. And, you know, I had lunch with Six 4 days this week. You know, we Wow. talk every day. We FaceTime every day now. And it's just so amazing because I really did feel like maybe I had lost my sister, you know, and I just feel like I feel like maybe that's a little bit of my newfound happiness as I'm feeling more complete because I have my sister by my side.
Absolutely. Yes,
you know?
You're in this euphoric state. I can 100% relate with that. And I feel like it's important to know that it's not about one person. I mean, given the situation, saying, I'm so sorry, let's move on. Mm-hmm. It's both of you.
Yeah,
if it's a real
two
love,
people for true forgiveness.
Yes, it's a two-way street, and you can't be holding this over your head. They need to apologize to me. I'm in the right, mm-hmm. they're in the wrong. That's all ego. Mm-hmm. It's all resentment.
100.
And if it's a real sisterhood, then it's really not. And it takes time to realize that. But mm-hmm. I think that that's so, so interesting to talk about within the drag community. I don't think that we've ever talked about that here on the podcast. Have we, Mimi?
I don't think so. Just, it's too real almost. I mean, you've had Demi on and that was kind of a similar situation.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's just painful. But can I pivot for a second?
Yeah.
Speaking of relationships, how is dating for you?
Ooh, let's get into it.
For me?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well,
for
you're
me?
The guest of honor.
I know, right? I'm like, it's going well, married.
Yeah, you know, it's good. My girlfriend's hot.
It's going pretty good.
No, I really don't date.
Okay.
I don't date at all. Like,
why is that?
Because men are garbage.
I know that's
that's
right.
That's the hardest part about being
right.
gay is that
right.
men are garbage.
No, I just, you know, dating in LA is a whole other thing.
Dating
you
in know, LA, dating as a drag queen, so
dating
much.
Dating as a drag queen in LA is especially, you know, because especially for someone like me, I am dedicated to nightlife. I am married to mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. drag children. Mm-hmm. I am married to what I have created the past 17 years. So for anyone to come into my life, they're going to have to be, first of all, very confident. They're going to have their own shit going on. They're going to have to love tits on their back. No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not, bitch. No, but like it takes a really strong, confident, fine ass, over 6 foot person to be
I
with
love
me.
That. I love
you
that.
You know what I mean?
It I does. Will. I will say too. I feel like you are such a slut.
Yeah.
when it comes down to it, I know her sex stories. I know you get action. You are so confident. Mm-hmm. You would just attract it.
Yeah.
But dating is something else. And I feel like there is this like kind of unspoken stigma around dating drag queens.
Well,
and
we were
I feel
talking
like it's
about
the same.
Dating. We were talking about sex.
Oh, hello. Yes. I think a lot of people actually equate the two, though.
No,
like,
they're
it's like,
very
am
different.
Am I having sex?
Community.
Am I hooking up? Are people attracted?
They're very different. Mm-hmm.
I
very
feel
different.
Like it really does parallel the stigma of dating a trans woman. Like you love it. You're obsessed mm-hmm. with it. It's fine. But when you really go in and be like, that's my girlfriend.
It's very that.
It's different.
It's very that.
And I wanted to ask you, do you ever feel... like, I mean, maybe it's the wrong word, but fetishized by
Absolutely.
Your drag?
Absolutely. And a lot of the time, mm-hmm. I don't really mind because I am a prize, honey.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I can understand how There's you can fetishize confidence. Booty, beauty and booty. Okay. I know. I know it's a lot. And I know you can't handle, but you want to try. But
no, it's tea, though. It really is. It is the confident guys that really, like, uh-huh. you know, reign true.
Yeah. But also, those confident guys, I find, are the ones that are really fetishizing and the ones that are confident and coming up and be like, hey, yo, boo, what's up? You want to fucking come over later? I'm like, no.
Do you ever have sex in drag?
You don't see. Yes.
Of course. Do you look at her?
I love it.
Is that another inside stigma? Drag queens not having sex in drag?
Yes. I don't know any drag queens who have sex in drag.
I don't know
for,
either.
I guess,
you Rhea. might be the first.
I feel like every queen needs to experience it once because it is a complete different experience.
And I bet you it's addicting.
It is. It's sick. I am Pamela Anderson in the Tommy Lee sex tape, okay? You cannot come for my performance.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Does your gender identity and drag ever cross over?
No, bitch. If you're hitting it in drag, I'm giving you.
Do you ever feel like a woman? Do you have some transness in you?
I feel like a woman every day. 100%. Okay. I am definitely on the spectrum.
Right. Of trans.
You know, and my pronouns are she and her.
Okay. And you go by Rhea.
I go by Rhea at all times during the day, during the night. You know, if you call me, you better say R-H-E-A. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know it's really confusing for people, and it's really confusing for me too sometimes when I really think about it, but I can't help the way that it makes my soul and heart feel.
And that's what you have to listen to.
You know? And
for a long time, it wasn't that during our relationship. I think it was our last trip when we were together in Rome and we were talking to other people. We had never really discussed
it. You were always,
I know, I love that for Rhea and I. We just had never really talked. I never had called you another name other than Rhea. So when you had a conversation with one of our friends who had called you a different name, it was like, I don't like being called that. Like, let's do Rhea. And I was like, oh, wow, she's actually taking a stance. It's not just casual anymore.
Right.
And that's a huge mind fuck. And it makes total sense that you say that, because the soul really does not shut the fuck up. Like, it will keep you up at night. It will be in your ear all the time. So, like, if something really is being annoying inside, it's gonna have to come out, and then literally you can think about other things.
Yeah,
it's the beauty of just letting it go and speaking it.
100. I find that, like, when people call me out of my name Rhea, I feel like they're almost trying to prove something, like they know me better than anyone else in the room.
Oh,
that, like, you knew me from way back,
like calling
Fergie
Stacy.
But the reality
is, it's a hierarchy.
The reality is that if you knew me like you think you knew me, you would know not to call me that, and you would know that I prefer Rhea.
It's almost giving the exact opposite. It's like, did we go to high school together? And that's why you're calling me out of my name? Like, you don't even really know the new me.
And listen, you can call me that once and I will correct you. But if you do it again,
as long as it's not out of a place of ignorance.
100%.
Because people do make mistakes.
100%. And I've made lots of mistakes with pronouns in the past, and I probably will in the future. But I feel like the most important thing about pronouns is that you address it, and you readdress it, and you're like, I didn't mean that, and then you move on.
Pronouns are different from calling you Rhea, like, though.
You know,
it's
Rhea.
It's a knee-jerk reaction, and the best thing to do, it feels so awkward when you do it, but you say the wrong name by accident, you say the right name by just
purpose.
Just say it and move on, girl. Move on.
Like, it's not a big deal unless you make it a big deal.
Exactly. Yeah. Not, oh my God, I'm so sorry. No. Just say the right name, correct it, and then move on. Another thing I feel like people in the nightlife world don't really know about you is you're actually a divorced woman.
I am.
What did you learn from that whole experience? Because that seems like another life.
Yeah.
Girl, I mean, I was young. I met him on the dance floor at Tiger Heat. We were inseparable forever. His visa was running out. I was like, bitch, we're getting married, baby. I can't live without you. We moved to Todmorden, a little village outside of Manchester. And motherfucker all of a sudden wanted to feel like he could put his hands on me. And I was like,
I didn't know that.
Oh, I am a product of Ricky Lake in my household. And I was not going to be one of those stories. So. Wow. One day he decided to hit me and I finally hit him back. And it made me feel disgusting. It made me feel like you drove me to be this monster. You drove me to be this person. And so I played house for a week. I called my sister. I was
one
like,
week.
Yeah, I played house for a week because I needed a plane ticket. I need to figure out how I was going to get it. And so I played house.
That's quick.
He went to work and I came to LA. And I left.
Wow.
And then he came after me, girl.
Of course he did.
Oh my God. He came after me. This good hot pussy was hot ready, bitch. I was like, oh my God, you still love me. Oh my God, you still want to be with me? Oh, hey.
What happened?
Yes. I took him back, bitch.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. And then we were out one night at Fiesta Cantina and he thought he was on English soil still. So he wanted to put his hands on me and then it was over.
Did he apologize for the violence? Was that was it the breaking point or was it
he
like.
He never apologized.
He never apologized for the violence. In fact, when I was in London with your cousin Ivy,
okay.
And I was with her for a month there, he hit me up and saw that I was there and was like, I would like to go out with you and go to dinner. And, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? Like a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's go to dinner.
To like take the power back? What made you do that?
Honestly, to hopefully find some reconciliation of just like, you know, just wiping the slate clean and just like moving on and talking about what happened. What ended up happening is he ended up being a garbage person and ordering all this alcohol and ordering everything and telling me how much he loved his new boyfriend and how good that they were. And then proceeded to lean in and kiss me.
Is this is that a narcissist? What is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Ew, a sociopath. That's
psychopath.
The word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just like, I was like, you just go, oh,
JJ went running.
I was like, wow, you just got done telling me, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he was like, you know what? I just can't do this. Every time I see you, I just go back to where we were. And I guess I just love you. And da, 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 and I got to go. And left me with a 300-pound bill.
No.
I was like, oh, no, 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 no. This is not happening.
That was giving your closure.
Yes. So much so. Right. He hit me up 3 weeks ago.
I can't.
He hit me up 3 weeks ago.
No, Raya.
And
he's like a cockroach.
Yeah, bitch. He just, honey, wouldn't you keep running back?
Oh, I mean, I would. I would treat you better, though.
Yeah, you would treat me better.
I'd be like, here's the car. Here's tons of kisses.
You could sleep in the podcast room.
I'd say, you can punch me in the stomach just for everything I did.
And he was like, would you like to get together? And I told him, I said, no.
There's nothing we need
to talk about. You already proved to me who you are over and over again. And if I go back, I'm the idiot. So bye.
That is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. And I'm sorry that you have to deal with that. But congrats on being a strong person. Because
I'm actually thankful I had to go through that. I'm thankful because I learned so much on how to be aware of the things around me and the way that I'm treated. And that's another reason why dating is hard because, bitch, people don't treat you the way you need to be treated. And a lot of people will just let things slide.
They'll settle.
Yeah, and they'll settle. I am not a settler.
Right. So is that the biggest lesson?
It is.
Don't take less than you're worth?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You're going to get a princess point for that.
I mean, bitch. Wow, this guy. I've never really wanted to physically hurt anyone in my life, but I really want to hurt this guy.
His name is on my neck.
What an asshole. Oh, I know his name.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Soon to be covered.
Oh, my God. Yeah, are you going
to
cover it?
Soon to be covered.
I mean, I just never really thought about it because the only people that see it are the guys that are fucking me.
Hello.
So, I mean, it doesn't bother me, but
they're
what
is that?
You're I have any followers out there, or any new fans that want to do me a favor and cover it with like a butterfly or something.
Oh,
like,
I love that. Yep. It's also a lesson, bitch. You got to believe people for when they show you their true colors. And if
second or the third time.
Right. And if it's really, really, really bad, and if it's not like, you know, under the influence or anything, and they truly mean it, right? Like they really are standing by it, then it's like, red flag. A little bit, right?
Yeah, and we all have
moments. No relationship is perfect, but I think that's a huge lesson for people too. People listening, yes. You never know. They could be going through the same thing. They're like, oh my God. Like,
girl,
look at her
say
now.
Say bye. And you mm-hmm. know what? If it
they
leaves
don't love you.
And if it leaves and it comes back to you in a form that you are willing to accept, then it's yours. Mm-hmm. But girl, I am a firm believer in letting things go and letting things
same
flourish and letting things happen the way they're supposed to happen. And if it's mm-hmm. meant to come back my way, boom, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Obsessed.
Raya, thank you so much for joining us. Oh my
gosh. Is that it? Are we done?
Not quite yet.
Oh, not yet.
Okay,
tell her why.
I was like, I'm not ready to go.
We have one more little break, and then we're going to come back and answer some caller queries. Do you want to stay with us?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We will be right back.
Queerified.
Welcome back. We are here with Miss Raya Latre.
Drag's bad as bitch if you're nasty.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to answer some of your queries. If you guys are unaware, please call us on our hotline at 1-844-QUERIES. That's QUEERYS. Call and ask us anything. We know that you have questions. We know that you want advice. Call and literally listen to these beautiful questions people are going to ask us. And let's get the conversation started.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Our first caller.
Hey, what's up? My name is Sierra Loft. And, I really wanted to talk about young trans women and domestic violence and how serious that is. For I am a domestic violence survivor and everything, and it's just a lot. And I just really would like for one of you guys to call me back or email me at Sierra, Loft, LOFT99@gmail.com so I can better describe what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Sierra, I think you called at the perfect episode because we have here with us Raya Latre, a survivor of domestic violence. First of all, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. I mean, we can talk about this for hours, but a lot of people never get the chance that Raya got. A lot of people can't find the strength that Raya had to leave their abusers. You know, there are millions of people out there right now who are still dealing with it because they can't find a way out.
Well,
do
I think
you have anything to say about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think what gave me the strength is knowing how many people have been subject to this mm-hmm. and knowing that I did not want to be part of that story and I did not want that to be my narrative. And mm-hmm. it did take strength, but I got strength from the people that I've been through it. And my knowledge, you know, I was pulling strength from every one of those bitches on Ricky Lake that was hit before. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to deal with this and I deserve more. And all mm-hmm. of us deserve more.
Point blank. I feel also a lot of this violence, a lot of this behavior comes from, and I will go just on the record saying I've never experienced this. Within a family member or dating anyone, verbal abuse is as far as it goes for me. But I will say a lot of this behavior comes from insecurity. It comes mm-hmm. from people not really being who they truly are. It goes mm-hmm. as literally like the biggest thing that I can compare it to really like is like in high school. It's like when we came out, Mimi, you and I is gay. It's like everyone mm-hmm. was like, it was attack zone because all of these people probably had gay tendencies too. And they really do take mm-hmm. it out on you because
yes.
they don't want to process it themselves. And
I just think we always knew.
Trust your intuition. And I think that trans women go through this a lot because we are so out there. We have to tell mm-hmm. everyone our tea. And if it's your family, if it's your friends, it's still coming from that awful negative place. So just know that, if that helps at all. Mm-hmm. And Sierra, we love you here. Thank you for that question. And I really hope that things start taking a turn for the better.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Know your power, girl, and know that you are worth every single piece of perfection that you've always wanted and that it will come your way. I also want to say for trans women out there that are out there dating, just to be more aware and know that you are loved and you mm-hmm. do not have to put up with things because you feel like you're unworthy of love. Like
exactly.
you are worthy of everything that you need. And because of trailblazers like Gigi, you know, we are entering a different time where you have power and you have a voice now. You do not have to hide and pretend that you are something else anymore. You can mm-hmm. be and have everything you want out of this life. And that's why I want you to know. And I want that to be the catalyst for you. If you're ever going through anything that's abusive in your life, that bitch, you are not worth being a part of my life. Get out. Right now is the end of you and me. It's too late, and I can't wait for you to be gone.
And I know it's true.
Thank you, Raya.
A year is a long time. We just went through a new year. Mm-hmm. Look at where your life could be in a year if you take the steps that are obviously safe for you. It's a really, mm-hmm. really long time. It flashes before our eyes, but you look, where was I last year? Like, you are worth it, and take the steps to making your life a better place for yourself, because you're the one that has to fucking live with it.
Exactly. Oh my God, great answers, guys. Okay, our second caller, here we go.
Oh, what a gorgeous voicemail. How cute. Hi, Geech. Hi, Neem. Love you guys. I'm just calling for a question, kind of for Mimi. I hear a lot of the voicemails calling, and they're kind of just addressing Gigi, and they don't address Mark at all. And I was just wondering, Mark/Mimi, is it hard having a friend who's so in the public spotlight and so recognizable, and maybe you're just more of like a non-celebrity person? Is it hard to always hear like voicemails and comments kind of overlooking you? Because I think you're fabulous and amazing, and everyone say hi to Mimi when you send in a voicemail. She is great. They are great. Love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for that question. That is so sweet. But I mean, I'll give you the short answer first. No, I don't feel bad. I mean, Raya, you know Gigi. Being Gigi's friend is the easiest thing in the world. It's not hard at all. I don't look at Gigi like she's a famous person. Of course, she is an inspiration to so many people. But
I also want to say that Mimi, you are a celebrity in my eyes too, bitch. You have a podcast with Gigi Gorgeous, like Queerified. I was on your last show. You like you're everything.
Hell yes, I feel the same way.
Yes, but the question is it hard? It is absolutely not hard, and I love hearing everything that Gigi has to say. Raya, how is your experience with Gigi? Not saying that you're not famous, but
I'm more famous than Gigi, so you need to ask her how she feels about hanging out with me.
This question is it's making me want to cringe. I love this question, but also at the same time, like, I don't look at Gigi like she's famous. I see these things too. I see these comments, and it there's no competition there. Like, me and Mimi in particular we've lived so many lives together that it's not this, he's not wanting what I'm wanting. I'm not wanting what he's wanting. Mm-hmm. And it is a really sweet question, but we're in the place that we are right now because of our life goals and because we've worked through so much. It's like, if that was still an issue, bitch, like, we need maybe friend therapy. Like,
but think about it this way. Imagine that you have a friend who's achieving the most amazing things in life, who's, you know, living their dream life, who's madly in love, who's getting married, who people look up to. That is not bad. That is not bad. That is like the greatest thing in the world. So,
you know, you guys are both very positive, uplifting people, but there are people that like have a lot of envy towards their friends. That like, I have a friend that has literally watched a lot of his friends find success, and he hasn't reached that level of success. Mm-hmm. And I'm know why he hasn't reached that level of success, because he's so worried about what other people are doing. And I think I think that when people do that, they're really opening the door for like negativity. They really are.
Yes. I will say this, it's
about lifting people up, which is why I do that so much with my career. It's about strength in numbers. If I see a bad bitch walk through the door, I'm not going to shoot her a dirty look. I'm going to be like, hey, bitch, you look sickening.
You really
are. What is your name? I got gigs. Would you like to perform on Monday night? You know, I'm very that girl.
And I think it's also about aligning yourself with people with the same values. Because, Mark, when you were saying, you know, she's living her dream, she's married, she's happy, that could be one thing, but you could not be happy about the work that I do or the things that I stand
for. That's
true. Right? That's true. And I'm thinking, I was thinking of another friendship that I have in my mind, and I was like, huh, I wonder if there's jealousy there, because I know that one person does not hold the same values as that other person, but I know that we do. And I think that that is also a place where it's like, I know that she's happy, I know he's happy, like, good for her. Like, let's cheer them on, because the more that she succeeds, the happy that she's going to be, and that's the end goal. And it's
I will
vice
say
versa.
This. It was very clear early on that you were going to be who you were. And I always knew that I had to make sure that I had a life outside of our friendship, and that I had my own goals and my own successes and my own thing going on.
See, so that's maybe, very important. That's
literally
very important.
That right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So
get out
maybe
of my life,
set myself up.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
You
like,
better
we
move
have...
or else
yeah,
I'm
going
to get stuck in a rut.
You suck your own dicks, girl.
Wow, that was a really good one. Wow, we just went off with that question. I was cringing at the beginning. I'm like, oh my God. Now it really is like beautiful.
Yeah. No, that's actually a great question, because a lot of people have a lot of issues with envy.
I want to ask you a question. Do you find it hard having the success and being friends with people who are maybe not finding the same success as you are, you know, maybe are going through it? Is that like, do you feel any way about that? Do you ever find yourself in precarious situations? I just remembered Lady Gaga saying this years ago, and she said, my friends stopped telling me their problems because they thought I was too busy for them.
Oh, okay. I understand that. Like, I totally relate to that. I think the way that I think about it is, if I'm friends with someone, they're really knowing like my tea. And if everything looks fine from the outside in, then I'm doing my job, because that really at the end of the day is my brand. Positivity, happiness. And whenever something hard happens, it's very strategic the way that I let it out, right? It's not like a mess. It's not trashy. Like, I really try to like articulate
it. Keep it together. It's just you're a strong person.
Exactly. But like, nobody's life is perfect. And my friends that maybe aren't necessarily achieving their dreams know what I'm really going through. And what I've learned a lot of the time is, you can't compare yourself to Kim Kardashian because her life is perfect. You can't compare your struggles.
Bitch, Kim Kardashian's life is not perfect. She was
not
married
right
to Kanye West.
Exactly.
Okay, that is not perfection. That sounds like hell. Okay.
you might think money buys happiness, and she's so rich, she has to be famous.
I don't
envy her.
But
you know her friends are there for her when she needs to cry it out. And it's the same way. Like, I remember literally like a few nights ago, I was crying, and it's like, you wouldn't know that unless I said it or unless you saw it, but it's just the realness. So like, maybe my friends are like, wow, like she's going through it. And like, I am still, you know, it's all in perspective. I think it's not everyone wants to be doing what you're doing. So you can't compare and be like, I'm so sorry you're not. You don't have a book yet, because I wrote a book. It's like, well, get out of your own head. I have my own goals.
See, so I've been thinking about books too, and I, like, all of my friends have books.
Okay.
But bitch, ain't nobody gonna give me a book deal. So.
Are you kidding me? Yes,
independent
they will.
Publishing.
Not yet. I need to do something. First things first, I'm a realist, okay?
I know what's coming up for you.
Bitch, I'm gonna get a spiral notebook, do at your home yourself kit, and I'm gonna sell 30 copies, and it's gonna be the best fucking book you've ever read.
Yes.
See, I'm not gonna sit here and be like mad at my friend Gigi for having like a binded book, bitch. I'm gonna get a spiral and I'm gonna have the same success. Watch this.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know I think it's gonna be called Drag's Baddest Bitch Stories from West Hollywood.
Yes, God.
I can already see the picture. She's naked.
I can too. It's gonna be this hair crimped, high high pony,
on the
half
floor.
Up, half down.
Oh my God, that was a great question. Thank you so much. And are we ready for our last question?
Yeah, let's
shoot
do
the
it.
Shot.
Here we go.
Hi, guys. My name is Panos, and I'm from Montreal. And my question is, Gigi, when are you coming back to Canada? Question mark.
Is he at his grandma's house at midnight and she's asleep?
It's giving landline in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I'm not coming back to Canada. I'm not coming back to Canada because I was talking to my friends about astrology. And they asked me, when's your birthday? I was like, here you go. They asked me, what time were you born? And I said, oh, I actually don't know. Text my dad. He doesn't know. I go into my files in my office. check mm-hmm. my birth certificate. I'm like, must be on there. my weight, my length, the exact mm-hmm. time I was born. And I think it was like 4 a.m. from what my mom had told
me. Wow. Okay. Okay.
We'll it's not on the birth certificate. So I'm pissed with Canada right now. I want to know my birth chart.
Trudeau, get into the archives and find
out. Should I call the hospital and see like if I could like, you know, maneuver my way into finding out what time my old dead name was born? Like, they're not going to give that information out.
If they don't have it on your birth certificate, they're not going to have it at all.
That's wild
that
it's not on there.
It is. And if you Google, because I really deep dove into this, it's like there's a bunch of countries that just don't do length, weight, or time born on the birth certificate. It's just name. It's mothers and fathers, maiden name,
so
country.
Weird. All
that
stuff.
It's insane. You'd think Canada, the most country that has it the most together,
for real,
would have that. And I'll never know my true birth chart because of that. It sucks.
Canada, you got some explaining to do.
No, but on the real, hopefully soon. I mean, honestly, hopefully soon.
You've been away from Canada for so long. I mean, how hard has that been for you?
We have traditions that we haven't been able to do. To go to Canada. And I would love, love to go with you. I did a tour through Canada. And I had the best time. We did Vancouver, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Calgary. We did. I helped open a magazine in Toronto.
Okay.
Like, I love Canada. And I'm trying to find me a man because shit goes down here in America. I'm hopping that border.
Shit goes down in Canada too. Honestly, I could see you finding like a Vancouver or a Toronto man.
He would have to be West Coast.
We have to do it soon. Vancouver. I mean, COVID's been insane. Early last year I came, but it's been like, I mean, like Mimi said, we have traditions. We missed Christmas. We
there's always another
birthdays.
Season of Drag Race.
I mean, hello.
Oh, God.
Oh, Brooklyn.
The most... Okay, the second most iconic moment of Gigi. Can I share this?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yes, honey. Oh, yes, honey. So, the second most iconic moment, walking down that runway on RuPaul's Drag
Race. God.
I mean,
oh, my God.
Sister, you are the most beautiful angel on this planet.
Shut
it
up.
Just, it was...
You were rude.
It was rude.
It was rude.
R-H-U-D-E.
Bitch, I was quarantined in a hotel for 10 days. I wanted to give something.
Oh, bitch, you were on fire. You were like, bitch, I had a sickening.
Yeah, I had a glamour itch. I woke up that morning and said, I'm going to give it.
She woke up at 2 a.m. and started painting, bitch.
Honestly, though. Thank you.
Everybody in that room felt so ugly.
Most iconic moment of Gigi was we were at Ivy Gedding's wedding. In San Francisco, City Hall, the
City
most
Hall.
Beautiful curated moment by Galliano. And it's beautiful. And everyone is waiting for the bride to walk down the aisle. I did not know this, but I was waiting for Gigi to walk down the aisle to her seat.
Wait, what?
You were on the second level looking down at where they were going to get married.
No, I was on the first level, but I was like on the outside, so I was watching. I could see everything. Mm-hmm. And Gigi and Nat walk in, and Gigi is in, I know they said black tie event, but bitch just wore black ties.
Like, I know.
She said,
she wore black ribbons.
And then Nat's in all of his swag, like literally just like with his bitch walking down the fucking thing. Everyone in the place was like, that's them. That's them.
And that's the thing about in-laws. You don't know what they're saying because I honestly had not met a lot of them. I've met a lot of his family, but that wedding was everyone.
It was
a glorified bikini. It really was.
Yes, it really was. And I cannot give you enough kudos for that because I just thought that it was the highlight of the whole weekend.
It was a Kylie Sonique number.
It really was.
I'm not just saying this because I'm on the podcast. I have expressed this to you before.
You have after you were like, bitch.
I just couldn't get over it. When you walked, I grabbed Matt Flynn's leg like this and I squeezed. I said, look at Gigi.
No, and the thing was, we were genuinely just like bumbling, trying to find our seats. Like it wasn't a serve. It wasn't like a strut.
Putting on a scene.
Let's not forget.
No, we were just like literally walking, being like, eh, like looking, like really looking and really sitting and really being like, hi, how are you? are you? And then instantly being told, please put your mask on. So it wasn't glamorous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you steal all the attention at every wedding you go to? You have this reputation.
Yeah. That's the goal. I mean, I've only been to like 3 in my life. One was my own. So if it's a wedding, I'm turning
you,
up Gigi, for you.
You don't have no choice. You don't have no choice in this matter.
I'm going to wear that dress in every like variations of different colors for the rest of the weddings I go to in my life.
Yes, please.
They make it in red.
Wait, who was it? What was that dress?
Oh, I'd have to look. I think Monok, Monoq. Mm-hmm. Overpriced. But
it was literally a ribbon Kylie Sonique number, and it was gorgeous.
It was stunning.
Ugh, shucks. Shucks. Well, thank you so much for coming on this episode of Queerified.
Oh, Raya, it's really over.
It's really over. Where can people find you? What are you working on?
Well, right now I'm recording my Pride album with Sam J. Garfield.
So excited.
If you're looking for something to listen to, I recorded an album over the pandemic called Buck Bonky. Yep. And it's an album that's really definitive to my personality. It's nightlife, it's love, it's fun, it's sex, it's everything that I feel it's like so really good. Encompasses me. So if you really so want to get to know me, listen to Buck Bonky, the EP, available on all streaming platforms everywhere.
And if you have any kids, make sure that they already know every swear word in the book.
Yes.
Because shit's explicit.
Yes.
In the best way possible.
Listen to it yourself first. You know, because you might be one of those mothers that don't care.
Okay. Exactly.
You're like, oh, she didn't say nothing.
And the horns come separately.
Yes, the horns come separately. And people ask why I wear the horns and that. And it's because it's Buck Bonky and I'm bucking. I'm like, you know, in a land full of 500 mm-hmm. drag queens, I'm letting bitches know that I'm here. You know what I mean?
So good.
And that's
die.
What I want everyone to take from it. Everyone needs to have that power. And if you want to come get that power in person, you can come on Monday nights, every Monday at Rocco's in West Hollywood for Makeout Mondays. Mm-hmm. And I, honestly, check my Instagram, check my social medias, Raya Latre, R-H-E-A-L-I-T-R-E, Drag's Baddest Bitch, if you can't remember it. And I will get you right on together.
Well, we love you. You've officially been queerified. How does it feel?
It feels so correct.
Yes. We love you guys listening, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Until next time.
Stay gorgeous.
Thanks to our very special guest, Drag's Baddest Bitch, Raya Latre, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and me at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, and review. You could be mentioned in one of our next intros. And follow all episodes, available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. See you in the next one. Stay gorgeous.